a Sunday morning that's dark, you think, my, what an exciting topic. 1 month to live. Now, what the purpose here is to be able to help us to understand, you know, if you have 1 month to live, then all the trivial things, the unimportant things fall off, and you begin to prioritize, and those things that are the most important are given attention. And if we do that when we only have a month to live, how much should we be doing that while we still have life and don't know how much time we have to live? And so we're going to go into the series, the next, today and 5 weeks after this on Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about this aspect of how Jesus lived. And as we do this, one of the things I would encourage you to do is to be able to get in one of the challenge groups. If you're not in a challenge group that meets on during the week, by all means, call the office. We'll put you in one. It's a group of 8 to 10 people, and discuss the questions that are given. And so we would encourage you to be a part of this group. And I don't know how many groups we have. Maybe about 20 homes have opened up themselves to being able to facilitate this. And so one month to live. Now, this morning's message is going to be called Living the Dash. Living the Dash. As, you know, we think of 1 month to live, there's probably no place that echoes eternity more than a cemetery. Now, unfortunately, I get to the cemetery quite often. You know, one of the things I noticed is on the headstones, it will give the date born and then a dash and the date died. Born, dash, die. Living for the dash. And as I look at that, all I see of the person's life between birth and death is the dash. And that dash doesn't really tell you very much, does it? It doesn't tell you how this person lived, how this person loved, how this person, what was important in their lives. It's just a dash. Well, between birth and death, we're living for the dash. The Bible tells us that one day all of us shall die. And as we think of that, we want to be able to make our lives truly count. We want our lives to truly, that dash. We want to make a difference. We don't want to just have a life that is hurried and we're dashing around and really not accomplishing why God has put us here upon this earth. So when you think about it, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't control in life. You don't control the date you were born. You don't control the parents that you're born with. Or you don't control the period of time that you come into this earth. You don't control the culture that you are born into. We don't get to decide the dates on our gravestone. We don't know when our time on this earth will be up. It could be next week, or it could be next year, or it could be decades from now. Only God knows. Our lives are in His hands. But there is one thing that we have a vast amount of control over. We can control the dash. We can control and decide how we're going to use our lives, that time between birth and death. And so we're going to get started on a new series, a spiritual growth campaign we're calling 1 month to Live. And in other words, 30 days of no regret life. And so in this series, we're going to be challenged to live life as though there was only 1 month to live. Now, so I want you to be like children and put on your thinking caps and be able to look at it and say, okay, I got 1 month to live. Okay, are you ready? Are you with me? You have 1 month to live. Whew. What are you going to do with it? What's important to you? how you're going to live it. You know, the point is, if you live the next 30 days as if they were the last, then you'll know how to really live. And then over in the next several weeks together, we will discover 4 universal principles that will transform that question, how then to live. And as we think about this, we want to be able to know how Jesus lived the last 30 days of his life. Now, we know Jesus knew the last 30 days of his life. He knew what was ahead of him. So he knew he was going to die at the end of the 30 days. And so how did he live? And there are 4 universal principles that we'll be looking at. He lived passionately. He loved completely. And he learned humility. And the last, he left boldly. What an awesome way to live, you know, as we look at our lives. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." More than they ever dreamed of. Now, as we look at this, first principle that we have here is that Jesus lived passionately. He lived passionately. Now, if we could look at, keep John 10:10 up there, if you would, please. If you would underline that phrase, better life. He came that you might be able to have a better life. Okay. We see here, God wants you to live the best life possible. And he knows what that life is. And you can know it too. You can experience that life. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. "And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." You know, basically, John says, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have life. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, you have death. Have you ever seen that program on TV, Deal or No Deal? You know what I'm talking about here? I sure hope a lot of you do. Because what I'm about to say is going to make more sense. But you know, the Apostle Paul was almost like that. He was almost saying, Jesus Christ, deal or no deal? You know, the choice is yours. And as we look at this, you know, Satan acts as that banker. You know, there's a guy up above in a room, and he phones down, and he offers them a deal. It's not as good of a deal as possibly they could be able to win. But Satan comes, and he offers them a deal, to deal or no deal. And you know, the interesting thing is, he doesn't come and say to them, you know, take my offer now, because it's going to make your life miserable. He doesn't do it that way. No. And he doesn't say, now, if you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's not a good deal. He doesn't do that. But rather, you know what he does. He says, if you take Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. You know, but not today. Not today. Someday, and that would be a good deal. Jesus Christ, deal or no deal? The Bible says if you have Jesus, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you have death. That's a spiritual separation from the God of the universe who created you, who loves you, who gave his Son for you, and he wants you to accept life. Deal or no deal? You know, you might be a person here that you're thinking about committing your life to Jesus Christ, about inviting Christ to come into your life. And you've been thinking about that. Maybe for a while. You know, should I invite Jesus Christ into my life? Deal or no deal? And today is the day that God wants you to be able to make that deal. He wants today for you to invite him into your life. So you can actually have that new life that God promises to give to us. You see, God's word is today. Satan's word is someday. Someday. You might be a believer here and you've been thinking about really allowing Jesus Christ to control your life, to take control. You're going to get more involved in the work of the church, or you're going to become more committed to God's work in your life. And, you know, the phrase someday, you know, yes, I'm going to do this, but someday. Someday when I don't have all these problems and life is a little bit easier, people, it's never going to get easier. Life is life, you know. Today is the day to make that decision. Some people think, well, you know, when the kids are all grown up and I have more time, you know, people, you're never going to have more time. Today is the day. That's God's word. You know, well, when my business affairs get all straightened out, let me tell you, today is the day, God says. Today is the day to commit your life to the living God of the universe, who created this world and who loves you. Remember, Satan's favorite words are someday. He doesn't badmouth God. He knows that it's the best deal. And he tells you, yes, this is a good deal. And you know, you ought to do this, but not today. Why? Well, you got things to do, don't you? And we're always going to have things to do, aren't we? Until we breathe our last breath. And so today is the day. Jesus, as he walked on the face of the earth, he lived passionately. As we see, I look around and we got a variety of people in our congregation. We have young people, we have middle-aged people, we have older people, you know. And do you realize the only time you ever wanted to get old is when you were young? You know, if you're under 10 years of age, notice how they work in fractions. You know, I said to, you know, one four-year-old, I said, wow, you're 4 years old. He looked at me as if, what are you, an idiot? I'm four and a half, you know. And then we look at the teenagers, and you know, as they turn 13, they become, you know, they get to their teens and they jump oftentimes to the next number above their age, you know. How old are you? I'm going to be 16 in 3 years, you know. They get to their teens and then all of a sudden they become 21. That's like a celebration. I became 21. And then you turn 30. That's just about like sour milk, isn't it? And it's something to be thrown out. I turned 30. You know, and as we continue up the ladder, we begin to push 40. And then we reach 50. And we make it to 60. And you never thought you'd be able to hit 70. And life begins to be looked at as a day-to-day thing. You know, I made it to Wednesday. You get into your 80s. And then you start that life cycle to where you, in your 80s, you hit lunch. And you turn 4:30. Or you reach bedtime. And then your 90s. And I want to note for you, in your 90s, then we turn back to a child. And we go back to fractions. Thursday, I had a funeral in Forsyth. And there was this dear lady, Marjorie Spears, who was with us at the beginning of our church. And Marjorie and Gordy moved away many years ago. And he's passed away. He's with the Lord. And she's still alive. And her daughter told me, She was 94 years old. And I said, Marjorie, you're 94 years old. You look so good for 94 years of age, still living by yourself and all these things. And she was quiet and looked at me and she said, I'm 94 and a half. Pardon me, I'm sorry. You know, as we see, you know, life passes, years go by, and those are precious years that we should be living in. The day is precious, and we better start making the choices to live because life is painful, life is beautiful, all at the same time. This is your life. And so we stop constantly waiting to live. Start living, not someday, but today. Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 7, where he talked about his generation. He says, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to each other. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sung a drudge, and you did not cry. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying here that we played the music of life for you, but you didn't dance. You didn't enjoy life. In other words, you didn't live. You existed, but you really weren't living the life God has for you. You're always stuck in that someday syndrome. You didn't enjoy life. You were always waiting to live. And we look at the pains and the problems. They come, but you didn't cry. You didn't experience life. You tried to avoid at all risk life. You didn't live. Now, you know, we were put on here on this earth and given a very sacred gift. It's called life, people. That is a gift. I think we need to change our view of our life. It is a gift God has given to us. And we sometimes vastly overestimate the power of tomorrow. And we get into that someday syndrome. I think also we very vastly overestimate the power of yesterday. And we get stuck in that guilt and past regrets. Instead of putting that in the past as it is and living today as God wants us to live. The power of today. And so I first start living. I have to choose to start living passionately. The greatest risk in our life, people, the greatest risk is not risking at all. You get that? Setting, soaking, souring. Like sour milk, it needs to be thrown out and we need to start living, people. You know that God wants us to live passionately because Jesus Christ lived passionately. And secondly, Jesus loved completely. He loved completely. Look at what Jesus said when he knew he had only a short time left with his disciples in John 13. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He now showed them the full extent of his love. If you knew that you only had 1 month to live, you would want to do what Jesus did. You would want to be able to love completely. Love completely. You know, it sounds real simple, but it's very profound. The reason why you are placed on this earth is to love. And you're never living until you're loving, people. You're never living until you're loving. Jesus summed it up in the entire Bible in a couple of verses in Matthew 22. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's saying love God first and love others like yourself. At the end of your life, it won't matter what your bank account looked like. Did you know that? It won't matter. It won't matter of all the rewards that you or awards that you might have achieved in your life here upon this earth. It won't matter. All that will matter is did you love? Did you love? But pastor, if I love, I've tried it before and I got hurt. Oh, you poor person. You see, choosing to love like God wants us to love, we will get hurt. Don't be surprised. We will get hurt. But don't give up. God wants us to love because he knows that's true living when we're loving. Love him and love others, God says. That's what he wants of us in our lives. Do you love God with all your heart? That's the one thing that's going to matter one day. What if you knew that this was going to be the last month of your life on earth? Would you love others? Who do you need to love, in other words? Who do you need to tell that you love? Do you realize that you do not love unless it's seen in action? Because love is an action word. It's an action word. You could say you love, but if the person doesn't see the fact that you love them, it's not love. Do you love? That's a good question for you to pause over. And by the way, do you want to be successful in life? Do you want to be successful in life? I don't think anybody here would say, nah, I don't want to be, not me. I'm going to be unsuccessful all my life, and that's the way I want it. Don't bug me with anything else. No, we want to be successful. What the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 8, it says, love never what? Say what? Hey. It never fails. Love never fails. You know, if you love completely, you will not fail. You want to succeed in life? Let love be your primary motivation. Because love never fails. You want to succeed in your family? Let love be your primary motivation. If you want to succeed in your business, let love be your primary motivation. You know, love, the Bible says, never fails. As we look at this, love, again, is an action. It's a choice that you make. I know the world's definition is not God's definition. You see, it's a choice you make. There might not be any feelings towards that at all, but you make a choice to love. I'm going to choose to love God with all my heart, with all my being. I'm going to choose to love those people in my family, my relatives. I'm going to choose to love those at work, at school. I'm going to choose to love. And then I go forward and produce actions that reveal my love. Jesus showed his disciples the full extent of his love. And it says there in John 13 that he donned upon himself an apron and bent down and took the servant's attitude and washed the disciples' feet. He revealed his love by his action. And in this 30-day challenge, I want to challenge you to think about the simple little things that make a big difference. You see, a minor change can make a major difference in the life of another person. Thirdly, Jesus learned humility. He learned humility. Even though he was the Son of God, he taught us by his own example how to learn humility. In Philippians 2, we read these words. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Would you underline that phrase? He humbled himself and became obedient to death. You know, he humbled himself. So we see Jesus Christ in his life. He was willing to humble himself before others. He could have remained in heaven with all of its splendor and all its glory and so forth. But he came down to this earth and humbled himself to be made in the likeness after you and I. Now that was humbling. You know, we look at it and say, what's so wrong with being one of us? We don't look so bad. But if you look at it from God's perspective, you know, he humbled himself to become one of us. Now, as we see, one of the things that is going to last throughout eternity, I believe, is your character. How do you build character? You build character on two different things. First, you build character, number one, from God's Word. Really digging into the Word of God. That's why the Bible is so important. If you want to be able to know how we ought then to live, then we have to be people of the Word. We have to understand what the Bible is saying. And we need to dig in. You know, there are only two things that will change your life. And that is the books you read and the people you associate with. You meet God and hang out with God and spend time with God and get into His Word and read His Word. It will change your life. It will change your life for the better. You'll become more like Him. You'll become more like the people you hang around with. So hang around God. Get into His Word. You know, the Word is so important. This last week we were at a pastor seminar, and one of the pastors was talking about the death of this lady's husband that was in his church, and she wanted to know if she could give the eulogy, and he was very hesitant, thinking she won't make it through, and yet she said yes it'll be okay, and so he reluctantly allowed her to do that. And she brought out some magazines. She says, these were left at my husband's bedside. Or not his bedside, but in the front room at his easy chair where the magazine rack was. And these were the ones that he read. Yeah, you all know how well of a dresser he was. He got a lot of that from this magazine. You know how much he loved his cars and how he studied about these cars? You know? And he found out that he was dying. You know, he read the Wall Street Journal all the time. That was something that he just wanted to find out, the financial world, what it was like, what was happening, where it was going. Do you know that he loved sports? And he had that sports magazine coming in every week. You know what he had left? The last days of his life was the Word of God and his prayer journal. Those were the things he found to be in his life the most important things to him. The Word of God and prayer. What an awesome thing for us to be left with. You know, that's why it's so important. We give ourselves to trivial things that don't matter at all, and when we get to heaven, we can't take them with us. But you can take your character with you, and it comes through the Word of God. The second thing that builds your character, you won't like, so I won't talk about it. No. The second thing that builds my character is problems. You know, how many times we just want to be problem-free? Can you imagine what type of a character you would be if you were problem-free? Problem builds our character. I like God's Word a whole lot better than I like problems, let me tell you. You know, and yet I know that these problems that we face, God is using to build character. Some of the greatest blessings in our life are disguised as problems. We come to God and say, God, take this problem from me. And God says, no, I'm going to build you through. I'm going to take you through this problem. You and I will go through this problem together. We come and say, God, take this circumstance. I just don't like the circumstance. Take it, Lord. And God says, no. He said, because I'm going to build in you the character of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to walk in His steps. Jesus suffered. And He learned obedience. He by the things He suffered, the Bible says. Isn't that awesome? He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Well, we got to go ahead here. Carrie and Chris Shook were the ones that formed 1 Month to Live. And Kerry was talking about his dad's formula of putting God first. And I got to just run through this very quickly. He said, his dad said, give God the first day of every week. In other words, Sunday. Come and give God an hour together in his service. Secondly, he said, give God the first part of every day. In other words, spend time with the Lord at the beginning of each day. And very important, read his word, talk to him. The third thing was to give God the first portion of my income. You know, that could really tell if you really love the Lord, you know. First portion of your income. Put God first in your income. Give God the first 10% of your tithe because God deserves to be first place in our finances. And then fourthly, give God the first consideration of every decision. Have you ever made a decision without praying about it? I have. Have you ever bought a car without praying about it? Gee, I have. And what did it turn out to be? A great big lemon, you know. And I couldn't get rid of that car fast enough. Give God the first consideration of every decision that you make. He wants you to pray about everything in your business, in your family, and in your relationship. Pray about it. Now, the fourth thing is Jesus left boldly. He left boldly. Not only did Jesus live passionately, love completely, learn humility, but he also left planet Earth boldly. We see in Luke 9, verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. You know, there, in other words, there was no hesitation, no reservations about what Jesus was going to do. He knew he was going into Jerusalem to die. He knew the time was now. What did he do? Back away from it? No. He went full bore into it. No hesitation. No reservation. He was willing to fulfill the plan and the purpose that was ahead of him. He didn't waste time or energies on things that didn't matter. Because he had God, God had placed eternity in his heart. God has placed eternity in your heart. We're going to look at it. Here is birth. Here's the dash. Here is death. And here is eternity. And it's so much longer than the time that we spent here upon this earth. Are we prepared for eternity? Jesus went ahead, looking forward to that was ahead, despising the shame, for sure, but for the joy of being able to provide a way back to God through him. That was sheer joy for him. As we look at it, he left boldly. Matthew chapter 25, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. A lot of people tell you how to live your life. But at the end of your life, there is only one opinion that really matters. And that's the audience of one, your Heavenly Father. There are many people today that are living anticipations or the expectations of what other people want them to live. Are you that one person? Are you living your life in the expectation of others? You know, when you stand before God, I'm thinking that God will be looking at us sometimes and he will say, you know, you lived your life as so-and-so wanted you to live. But I wanted you to live your life in the manner of which I created you to live. Nobody can be you. Why didn't you be you? Don't live in the expectations of others. Live in the expectations that I have for you, which is a better life. Live as I empower you to live, in other words. Who are you living for? As we close this morning, I don't have time. There was a, I remember hearing about a football game, high school football game played. This boy never, he was a senior, and he never got to start a football game. His dad was blind, but he went to every one of the football games, and he sat there in the stadium for his son, who never started and only got in on kickoffs and special teams. Like, and he didn't get to play much, in other words. The last game of the season was upon them. And this young boy, this young senior, came to the coach and said, "Coach, I've got to play tomorrow. I've got to start tomorrow. Coach, start me tomorrow. Will you start me tomorrow?" The coach saw anticipation and expectation in his eyes of the, in the voice of this young man. And he said, "Well," he said, "I just don't know. I'll think about it." The day of the game, this young man came back into the office of the coach and says, "Coach, I've got to start. I've got to start today." Finally, the coach said, "Okay, I'll start you the first part of the game." With every anticipation of pulling him after the first series. They were on defense first. The kickoff came. The opposing team was on the 20-yard line, their own 20-yard line, and the senior was brought into the game on defense. He was a linebacker. The quarterback on the other team dropped back, and he handed the ball off to the fullback. And this young boy burst through the line, sacked that quarterback for a loss. Can you imagine the coach? "Oh, I'm sure glad the boy didn't get hurt." You know, and then the quarterback dropped back for a pass. And the same man, young man, dropped through that line and sacked the quarterback for a loss. Let me tell you, at the end of the game, it's a true story. This young man made 20 unassisted tackles. Now, if you're not a football player, you don't understand what that is. I mean, that's good to make 5 unassisted tackles in a game. This young man went wild. 20 unassisted tackles in the game. It came off. A coach was so bewildered, he looked at him, and he said, "Son," he grabbed his helmet, his face mask, "Son, what got into you? What happened to you?" He said, you know, Coach, my dad, he was blind." The coach said, "Yes, I know all about your dad. But what got into you?" And the young man said, "You see, 2 days ago, my dad died. And he's with the Lord. And it's the first time he could see me play. I played for him, Coach. I played for him." As we close, let me leave the question with you this morning. Who do you play for? 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 Do you play for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you? Or are you sitting here and thinking, "Well, someday I'll play for him"? God's word to you today is today is your day. Shall we pray? Father God, as we close this morning, Lord, we just come before you and thank you that you are the God that loves us and cares for us, that wants the very best for us, and you know what is best for us. And Lord, I pray as we close that you just might be able to search our heart and your spirit might nudge us to live and to play for you on your team today. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you are here and you've never received Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying today is the day, not someday. That's what Satan is saying to you. Today is the day to open your heart to receive him. Will you do that today? Right where you're seated in silent prayer, you can lift up your heart before God and ask him to come into your life, to develop that personal relationship with the living God of the universe. You could pray and thank Him that Jesus died for your sins and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. Would you do that today? Today is your day. If you would like to, you can pray this prayer after me if you truly mean it. You truly want that life that is better. Heavenly Father, I do know that I am a sinner. I know I've gone my own way, and Father, I've missed the mark of perfection that You demand. But You sent Jesus, Your Son, to hit that mark for me. And I invite Jesus to come into my life, to forgive me of my sin, to be my Savior. Thank You, Father, for forgiving me and for saving me. Help me to walk after You now, Father. If that was the prayer of your life, we welcome you to God's family. Today has been your day. But Christians, what about your lives here today? Have you been living for those things that do not matter? Is it not time today to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and live for Him today? Father God, I thank You for that work of Your Spirit as He continues to minister in our hearts and our lives. To Your glory, to Your praise, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.